First of all, the Gemara says, let me just quickly read the Gemara. Haiman da agar igure la'avidta v'shalim avidta v'hal gadiyoma. If a man hired workers for the day and he ran out of work to give them in the middle of the day, if he has easier work that doesn't require that much or more exertion, he can give. Inami de kavata mafakidlu. Ahu de kashimene lo mafakidlu. He can't force them to do harder work than they originally contracted. Venotain lahem skaram mishale. And he pays them for the full day. They can't, in the middle of the day, they can't go find a job elsewhere. So he has to make good the entire salary. So the Gemara says, Amai, why does he have to pay the full salary? They should get some reduction in their wages, because after all, they're not working. They're able to stay home and watch TV, so they should be able to get some reduction. So the Gemara says, Kika amarova bachlushe de mochuza. The times when you pay the full salary and don't deduct for having the day off and being able to go to the ball game, you're talking about, Rashi translates, achlushe de mochuza. The mochuza, shehu irosha rava hayu bnei adam hargilim laseit masaot tamid. They were porters who used to schlep heavy packages all the time. And if their physical condition would deteriorate if they didn't engage in heavy exercise all the time, and therefore sitting at home was harder on them than working. So we have to first of all understand, what does it mean, kapoel batel? What is this, poel batel? At what rate? I mean, do they get unemployment compensation, or do they get a rate proportional to their normal income? So on that, the Rashba is very clear. Let's just pass this down, save me one, so I can read it. Okay. In Simon Toftov Kufpe Zion in the Rashba, Od Nish'al, V'mi Shesachar Tzorech Otzaba, Shesfiratan Rabba Mishrut Sofer. Suppose someone hired a goldsmith or a dyer, these are high-wage individuals, whose wages normally are greater than, say, the wage of a scribe. V'achar Shesum Lachtam Shnei Yamim O'Shlosha, Chazar Bo Bal Habayit. And suppose then, in the middle of the contract week, the Baal HaBayit reneged, Im chayav liten lahem kepoel batel, hainu kishomer kishurim, shiskarob beis pshitim b'yom, do they have to pay them the minimum wage, 2 pesetas a day, or do, o yes charato kefi harvachat atzorech, or is the salary proportional to their normal income. Beheshiv de kepfi harvachat atzorech, sharei shaninu noten lo shcharo b'shalei. V'yamrinan b'gemara shepochtim tzat kepoel batel. There's only a small deduction, 5 or 10%, deducted from the fact that the man is free and doesn't have to work. Okay, v'im kishomer kishuim kama ma mishalem kama. Umihu, im hu adam chazak. If you're talking about a strong individual, whom it's fa'el ba'amirato batel, and it's hard for him not to engage in heavy exercise, habile kachuse de mukhuza v'notel scharol mishale. And so this idea of chuse de mukhuza isn't specific to a narrow case, but it will apply to anyone who is who's not used to sitting around, and for whom sitting around is a painful deal. And of course the Rashba adds something that we already know, that this is talking about a case where there's no other employment available. If there is other employment available, of course, then the worker is obligated to try to take it to mitigate the loss. All right. Now, let's see some pretty broad interpretations of what is this Uchuzah Ebel Muchuzah. Uchuzah Ebel Muchuzah, at the moment, we have a case of where the man gets out of condition physically if he doesn't work. What if he gets out of condition mentally? Is that also a legitimate complaint? So here's a rather amusing tshuva of Rashba, but I think it's the nail exactly on the head.
What's the literal translation of Achuzah?
It's not clear. Rashi interprets it to mean porters. Okay. Let's take a look at Shimon. This is a second tshuva of Rashba, Simon Reish Sama. Umasha amarta b'vnei chabura shesachru chacham l'shana l'drosh kol shabbat v'shabbat. They hired a preacher to give a drosha every Shabbat. V'achshav chazru b'hem b'nei hachavura. And now the shul decided that they don't want to hire this darshan anymore. After the contract was in effect. And you say that they don't have the right to fire this guy, the darshan, in the middle of the contract year. And you say that they have to pay the rabbi or the darshan's full wages. So the Rashba says, "Kedin amarta." It's absolutely correct. The darshan is entitled the full wages. Now what about the fact that he's not giving the drushes so he can take a nap Shabbos afternoon instead of having some gesetz? V'lo shayach lo meimar eino dome habata un habareikan osem lachali yoshev batel. These people should not have any deduction from the fact that they're not giving their sermons. The other rabbi says, Leiv hadoresh somech yoter b'dasho b'kahal. Thou should enjoy giving the drasha on Shabbos. And if you're depriving him of being able to give his Shabbos drasha, then in fact you're doing him harm rather than good. So on the contrary, maybe he should get a supplement for being forced to stay home and not be able to give his drasha. Agmas nefesh that he wasn't able to give his drasha. La'ashmi'a et mitzvot u'pikudei Hashem u'chtiv pikudei Hashem yusharim u'samchei lev. So the Rashba says that if you fire a darshan in the middle of the year, you can't claim that he needs a deduction. To the contrary, if anything, you might have to pay him for not being allowed to continue to give his drush. Okay. Here's the tshuva of the Ramah. This is not the best edition of this tshuva, but we'll make do with what I was able to get out of Widener. So let's pass these down. Siman Nun.
How does Rabbi find these? Is that microfiche?
No, these are tshuvas I happen to know. In fact, I don't know if I. Several years ago, I had a case brought to me from the Supreme Labor Court of Israel exactly on this issue where the workers had the working in a factory and the workers were demanding the right to work, and the factory owner wanted to close down the factory and pay them their severance pay and so on. In other words, give them their salary, but they said, no, we don't want our salary, we want to work.
He didn't lock them out as such.
He was trying to lock them out, that is, he was trying to close down the factory, and the issue was whether there was such a thing as a right to work or only a right to compensation. It was complicated, of course, by the fact that in Israel, your salary is only, your official salary, of course, is only a small portion of your income, right? I mean, you get travel allowance, you get car allowance, gas allowance, health benefits, all various different things which, although they're not part of your salary, make it very desirable to be employed rather than unemployed. And therefore, they had rather their own reasons for insisting on wanting to work. So I had to go through the various tshuvas showing to what extent you enforce the right to work than others. We'll go through this Shuvah of the Ramah, which is also relevant, and then we'll at least read the Sheila of in the Michtam LeDavid, which was extremely relevant to this particular case. Here, Simon Nun, this is from the Ramah. Asher sha'alti mimeni al adot schar ha-rabanut, sesachru oto lorav shalahem, ukrasher hekriv hazman chazru behem b'fulut. Hine ahuvi, so this is about trying to break a contract for a rabbi. Hine ahuvi tochen ha-she'ela ne'elma mimeni. You didn't give me all of the details here. Lachen echtov kol chalkei hadin sheyipol behem safek bedin zeh. Amnam b'ktzara, ki en apnaim askim l'harich achshav. Ach muvua reperak umanim, da socher po'el shneihem yecholim lachzor bo kol zman shelo halach ha-po'el v'lmachto. Aval, halacha shahalach enam yecholim lachzor, v'katav shem harosh, da halach lav davka, elahu adinim halchu v'lo shahu, kol kach shadai yinotzim l'shatskir atzman, ein lapolim al bal habayit rak tar omet ba'alma. As long as other employment is available, then they have no legal case. V'chein im lo halchu v'shahu kol kach ad she'en otzim b'makom acher, l'estaker tzorich lotet lahem kepoel batel, kevin shegoyim lam hasek. Bada nakat halku, velo halku, ucha de milta nakat. The mustama calls man shelo halku motzim listakel, mishalku ein motzim lastakel. So the crucial issue is whether they can find alternative means of employment. The katav sham mihu, ike nafkuta kishalku emhu be inyan she ein motzim listakel, vafilu lo halakalo yomotse, and abalak yocholakzo, el imkeno tenlo stor koel botel, vim lo halakhoze, vafilu vataromet ein lo alav. That we learned all of this before, that the difference between having a contract and not having a contract, whether the money is collectible under damage law or under contract law, is in a situation where this person was normally unemployable. If he was normally unemployable, then the fact that the Baal HaBayit promised him a job and then reneged caused him no harm. But if once the contract had started, then he's obligated to fulfill it. Inami kigon shar shesha ahapodin. Niskarim begimel v'hu sachan b'dal kevan shalchu avikilu itchilu v'enu chol lachzovu v'enu chol lomar askir atzmachem kishar polim el tzach liten lem kipohel batel kafi atanay shepasaki mahem o yaskir atzmam kishar polim v'hu yashlem hem kitanay shepasaki mahem b'chulu elu hadanim olim sham b'maskanat harash u'kvar yadua shedin melamed kedin po'er וכן פסקו התוספות והראש והריף והמוד חי פרק אמוני. ואם כן, מעצמך תוכל לדון בדבר זה לעניין פועל והוא הדין למלמד. ועוד כתב המוד חי שם על רבים ששכו מלמד ורצו לחזור, ואין יכולים לחזור אפילו קודם שהתחילו מלאכה, וכל דבר נעשה ברבים או יהודי שלושה טובי העיר לא שייך לחזרה, ואיך זה בשלם אני ואין לעזר חזרה. That a contract made by the public is binding immediately. That would apply to a rabbinical contract, for example, with the entire community. Mvua gam ken sharav pasak sharav haposek la'am b'dinei isur v'heter v'hora'a yesh lo din melamed kirika l'tshuvat haramban uvutshat marabi meir padu asimunem miyu bahanira d'chiluk din rav hamore midin melamed d'bim lamed ein danin lo kepo'el batel. That in the case of a teacher, he should not be treated to a deduction in his pay. Any teacher who doesn't continue teaching will tend to forget. Amnam, he says, why he says this, I don't know. He maintains that the Paskin Ashaila, you don't lose your knack if you don't do it constantly. My experience is otherwise, that if I don't get a steady stream of questions, I tend to forget. Af she'enu chiluk rav gam kein b'ni avid ulo avid, v'enu nak elo harve, ap ilo avid. Zeh hanir ali b'din zeh, ach mamam ha'ya onesh ha'chazu machmas k'shashavir lo aleinu. If it was a force majeure, like there was malaria or something like that, nered yecholim lachzod hafilo lo chazru behen hafilo achi pseidu lamed, and so on. Okay, so he's introducing here, in the better editions, he clarifies his position a little bit and says being a judge isn't such a great pleasure, and therefore a judge who doesn't have to do his work should get some sort of reduction, as opposed to a darshan who is and who's having a good time. Okay. Now, the actual case that I referred them to, which is, remember the case that I had in Israel, had to deal with a situation where the workers, where really under the table, unofficially, the issue was that their income was being deprived because a substantial chunk of it was something that was extracurricular, so to speak.
The perks
were an important component, maybe greater than the salary. Yeah. So here I found a case.
Or the what reason is the workers want to stop those benefits and they force them to give them work?
That's what they wanted. Yeah, they wanted to force them to keep the factory open so that they could get their... Look, this was all a matter of a question of how to adjudicate the settlement, right? The factory was not going to stay open if it was uneconomical. But what was going to happen was, do they have a claim only for their salary and therefore an adjustment, or do they have a right to say that we are entitled by our contract to work, and if you want us not to work, you better do a little bit better than just paying us.
They were looking for damages that encompassed the benefits.
That's
also.
Right. They were looking for the damages that encompassed the benefits.
Actually, the perks in Israel come from the government because the health and so forth is not a...
But you need to be employed.
Yeah. Right. So all of these are important considerations.
Yeah, that's why.
So that was the case. So here I managed to find the case where the entire income was in the form of perks. Here's the situation. This is from the Michtam LeDavid. He was a rav. He was for many years a rav in Sarajevo, and then moved to Yerushalayim. His son married the Chida's daughter, so that gives you the time scale at the end of the 18th century, beginning of the 19th century. He was a very distinguished rabbi in Yugoslavia during this period. She'ela. Apotruposei yatom katan ben Reuven. The guardians of an orphan, the son of Reuven, katvu igeret l'Shimon mikridaviki. They wrote a letter to Shimon, who was a school teacher, Sheba'ir acheret, who was living in another town, imrutzano lekabel hayatom hanizkar lelamdo Torah, v'shiyeh samuch al shulchano shehem yitnu lo scharo mishalem. Would he take this orphan in as a student, and they would pay for his education and his room and board, etc. Vayan Shimon lehem sheim haya ish amid bin chasim. If he were a rich man, haya makablo b'china. He certainly would take this child in free with no charge whatsoever. V'gam ilu lo hayah mevukash ela lamdo bilvad, and if all that was involved here was teaching the orphan, lo hayah mevakesh shum schar mitek vod aviv zal shehayah ohavo. Out of respect and love for the child's deceased father, he would gladly teach this child for nothing. Bavi nichalei lizkot lazeh, and he would be honored, he would be happy to have the honor of teaching this child. Ach la'achilo mishalo, but to feed the child. V'gam shetzarich l'skor bayit be'ir yoter gedola, bado yoter gedola. And furthermore, he has to rent a larger apartment because there's no room in his current apartment to take in another individual. Ein yicholet biyado. Achar al kain mitratzeh latet lo tetvav zuhuvim l'shana. So, but he therefore needs 15 gulden for the year. V'shalchu etzlo hana'ar v'tetvav zuhuvim ba'ad shana echad mukdem. They sent the child with an advance payment of 15 gulders for the year. V'yachav sheyashavim al chodesh b'kiur, after the child lived with the tutor for a month, b'choli kaved b'chol ha'irahi. There was a big epidemic in that town. V'shalchu anapotropos shliach ba'ad hana'al ki nityaru mei hacholi ka'amu. They were afraid that the child would contract a disease from this epidemic, and therefore they took him back. V'sheba'avur za'am yachziru. And their intention was, when they took him back, that when the epidemic passes, when the danger subsides, they would send him back. Yachziru eilav. Vayatar Hashem la'aretz, then God had mercy on the land and the epidemic subsided. V'lo echziru, but they didn't send the child back. Ela adaraba ta'anim mishimon sheyachzir hama'ot. They demanded from Shimon that they give the money back. Kevan shelo kiblam ela b'shvil mizonot v'harei lo zanoto ela chodesh echad. The child only received board for 1 month, and after all, this payment was in the form of room and board, so that therefore there's no issue here of there being any salary, right? Because the guy promised to teach the child for nothing. So therefore, give us back the 11 months worth of room and board of advance payment that we did. V'shimon meshiv, shemeyachar shekva hitchil, chayavim heim l'shalmo atom shdato, v'shehu muchan l'zono l'lamdo kifit na'i. Shimon maintains that since he's already started to work, he's entitled to the contract being fulfilled.
You claim for the apartment. Then you have to go out and.
Obviously, what was going on here was this was a nice way of Shimon saying that I really am not taking any money for teaching, but I'll take my salary in the form of the perks of the difference between, you know, what it actually costs to feed the child and the room and board from the child, right? So in other words, here's the situation.
No, but also he was willing to continue it.
Yeah, everybody's willing to continue. The problem here is officially there's no salary here, right? Officially Shimon has agreed to teach the child for nothing. So therefore, he can't make any claim against the guardians for his salary because there was zero salary. On the other hand, everyone understands that this was just sort of a form of being polite and friendly, of saying that I'll be glad to teach your child for nothing, but on the other hand, I want to make a little profit on the room and board. So that therefore, here is a situation in which the entire compensation was in the form of perks. And I won't go into we don't have time to go into the details of the actual response, but in fact, the Michtam Ladavid comes down on the side of Shimon and declares that they either have to send the child back or at least compensate Shimon for whatever his profits would have been for that year. So that therefore, this was an important ingredient that went into that case. All right. Running a little...
How could they have a proof profit? How could they show profit? I don't understand.
What?
He wants to
maintain the original deal. And if they don't decide not to settle on the original deal, then they'll have to come to terms with Shimon. Their claim was that, after all, you're not making any profit, we're paying you for goods, not for services.
Yeah,
and since you're not maintaining the kid, you don't have any claims to the money.
How could he have any onus on that? How could he have any additional? How could there be profit on the maintenance?
That's what I mean. But
he charged more than it cost
him. It cost him 10 gulder a year, and he charged them 15. I mean, everyone understood that understood behind the scenes that this was just a polite way of getting his salary while pretending not to have any salary.
He may have not taken on a different child before he already committed himself to it.
Sure, exactly.
Well, that would be a loss.
Well, there was a loss on this one. The question is, there was no official real salary here. So the question, and what is the status of that? So here's this case where they decided that the worker has rights for his fringe benefits, his right to profit from the room and board, even though there was no official salary. Okay. Now, I'll skip a little bit to modern times, and we will read a marvelous shuva with Moshe Feinstein, who, as you all know, is very pro-labor, left-wing. Let's read his shuva, the marvelous shuva. There are two pages.
He has supported
America.
Hmm?
There are two, right?
Mm-hmm. He has supported America.
Two pages.
What was it?
Did they take the vote?
What?
Hmm?
Did they vote today?
There's something about America.
Pro-labor, you have supported NAFTA.
He's the second page. No, okay. I'll take one from him.
Okay. So this is from Elul Tafshin Yudal. 40 years ago, just about.
I mean, but he's still compared.
What?
Or the son-in-law?
This is 40 years ago.
Oh, 40, yes. I think 4.
40 years ago.
Oh, okay.
1954. Malk Malak, Kvod Yedidi, HaNechpad, Ben Yosef, Alevi, Elias, Shlita, Menahel, Yeshivat, Beit Yehudah, Detroit, I guess that should say. Hinei v'dvar etzem hadavar, kishorotze po'alim sheyosifu lahem schirut. When workers want an increase, o sherotzim lefa'ol dvarim acherim, or they want to have some other benefits, im mutarim shelo la'avod, v'lo lahaniach l'schor acherim tachtehem shekorim strak, sherotze kvot erato leida da'ati lahalacha v'inyan zeh. Do the workers have the right to unionize, to strike, and to enforce a closed shop? Okay. Hinei harash katav baravat radaf tet da baalei umanut yecholim lahatnot b'neihem v'heim hanikraim b'nei ha'ir b'inyan molacha shelahem. If you remember, we studied the Tosefta, which says that the townspeople can enact legislation, and the Rishonim have extended that ruling that the townspeople as a body can enact legislation affecting all the people in that particular trade, and they extended that to all the people in town of a particular trade. And as we saw, the Maharik took that even further and says that, and applied the rules of the guild, that is, he applied it, if you remember, to the doctors' consortium, that when if all of the doctors in town agreed on a certain scale or partnership and so on, it was binding not from the force of individual contract, but rather from the force of municipal law. And now the Rav Moshe is going to extend this principle to trade unions. Right? Upashut, he says, the shataluy beruba, that this issue that the members of a particular trade can enact legislation, it's obvious, Rav Moshe says, that this is dependent on a majority. If the majority of the workers in a town, in a particular trade, have agree on something, they can enact legislation for the whole town. Rav Moshe says that it's pashut, but of course we remember, when we were learning this subject, if you remember, this was a big dispute between Rabbeinu Tam and the other Rishonim. Rabbeinu Tam and his followers maintained that the idea of worker, of a group of people getting together and enacting binding legislation could only be on the basis of individual contract. And therefore, the initial agreement had to be by unanimous consent. Then afterwards, on the issue of deciding how they would enact legislation, fines, enforcement procedures, that could be taken by a majority because there was originally a binding agreement on all parties to abide by the rule of the majority. But the idea that there should be municipal regulations independent of individual consensual contractual agreement was foreign to Rabbeinu Tam. But this is an ancient difference of opinion. Whether there is no such thing as society as a whole enforcing its rules on the individuals, and everything, all of government stems from private contract. This is the private individual social contract theory of government, or whether in fact groups of people, by virtue of the fact that they have to live together and get along, have a right to organize their affairs. Rav Moshe takes it for granted that takes it, says that it's a davar pashut, that the a body of people in a given field have a right to organize and set municipal law on the basis of the group as a whole with a majority vote. I mean, it's very plausible, and it's very hard to maintain Rabbeinu Tam's position in any complicated society. If you have to get unanimous consent on everything, nothing ever gets done, but it's certainly not a davar pashut, that as Rav Moshe says. But that's his position. He says, "Pashut shataluy b'rubam." Unanimous vote. Alma de kulam lav dafka elahamiyut mehem ein yecholim. A minority cannot make any legislation. You have to have a majority. Of course, that's probably not what the Rama meant. The Rama was following in the footsteps of Rabbeinu Tam. But let's agree with Rav Moshe that the idea that townspeople can set up municipal laws by virtue of their living in the same town doesn't necessarily require unanimous consent of all the individuals.
The minority would have to conform if the majority passed
the legislation.
They couldn't have minority rights.
All right. Okay. And he said, if it's just approximately 50%, the unions in our country have a basis in halacha. He says that the unions have a basis going back to the Tosefta. Since they are all in the same trade and they are a majority of the people engaged in this trade, they have a right to organize. Since all of the workers in the town, in the city, in this field have to be aware of this, and this has to constitute a majority, Zela Kol Sheyesha Union. Everybody is aware of the existence of the union. Mistaber Sheyesh Ladun Shehu Karov Mitov Kula. You can take it as a plausible assumption that the union members constitute a majority of the workers in this field. Ach ima polim shibu union hemrak mi miyut bala yumunatam entakanatam klum. If in fact the union members only constitute a minority of the workers in this field, then obviously their legislation has no force. But in most places, he says, the unionized workers constitute a majority. By locality. Now, of course, the Gemara, he's very pro-union, as we will see.
No, but I mean, it doesn't apply. Unions don't work in public situations.
Yeah, but now with the unions,
are they claiming it's a whole town or?
No, it's saying that once the unions have organized, they can have the right to decide to strike against the particular employer.
That's what he said. He said the quality. What he took it from was that the community.
He is saying that the fact
was a different.
Well, that's what we see here. He's taking the law that we saw that was already extended in medieval times from tradesmen in a given trade, where it was really the city that had been enacting the legislation. At the Middle Ages, that was extended to the guilds. And now in this Shuvah of Rav Moshe, he's extending that principle still further to say that unionized workers have the right to enforce their strike rule on all workers in that field. If the unionized workers indeed constitute a majority of the workers in that field, right? If a majority of the teachers are unionized, belong to the union, then the union can decide that the teachers in such and such a school should go out on strike because their minimum demands are not being met.
Practically speaking, the teachers' union could be organizing the teachers. It's not like Umanot, it's not a.
He's saying that within each individual trade, if it may be that the teachers' union are part of the Teamsters' union, but it will have to be the teachers' unions who will decide to go out on strike, for example. But the question then is, if they do decide to go out on strike, whether that has some binding force on all the workers.
Particularly today, when you can have competing unions for a
well, that makes life a lot more complicated. But in New York at that time, they just had the AFL and the CIA.
Yeah.
Okay, now of course the Gemara says that even the butchers can't make any kind of an agreement unless there is, if in the presence of an Adam Chashuv, right? If there's a Rav in the town, then they have to get his prior approval. Right? So does David Dubinsky have to go to Rav Moshe Feinstein before he can call a strike? I mean, that's the next question here on the agenda. What the Gemara explicitly requires an Adam Chashuv. That is, if there is an Adam Chashuv, the Gemara says the townspeople cannot enact any municipal legislation without his checking it out to see if it meets the law, right? That's what the Gemara in Bava Basra says. No, the Gemara says that, for example, the butchers can agree that this shop will be open Sundays, Tuesdays, and Thursdays. This shop will be open Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, and so on. Any such agreement is binding without anything else. But if there is an Adam Hashur in the air, there's a distinguished rug in town, then before that legislation becomes binding, they have to get his approval. That's what the Gemara says.
So he's like a Supreme Court.
So that he is sort of like a person who's checking out all of these pieces of legislation. If there's no one around to check it out, we will just rely on the good judgment of the individuals. But if there's a distinguished judge in town, before enacting a piece of legislation, he has to be consulted, right? So now here you're sitting, let's say, in the East Side, and Sidney Hillman or David Dubinsky or whoever wants to organize a strike, do they have to turn to Moshe Feinstein to get his okay before the union makes the decision? If you read the Gemara simply, or the Shulchan Aruch simply, the implication is that in the presence of a distinguished dayan or halachic authority, he has to be there. But Moshe doesn't read the Gemara that way. Let's see what he says. Beheicha de'ika adam chashur shalom mahani. This principle that the Gemara says that no such agreement is binding in the presence of an Adam Chashur, he says, Hu davka Adam Chashur hamamuna parnes al hatzibur la'ayin v'takanot b'nei ha'ir u'v'chol tzorcheihem. It's not talking about there being a big Talmud Chacham in town. It's saying that this person has to actually be an appointed individual by the municipality to act as an ombudsman or a supervisor to check all municipal legislation. The fact that he happens to be a great scholar or a Talmud Chacham or Yorei Shamayim is not relevant. The issue is not his knowledge, but rather he has an actual municipal authority. Okay? A mafareisha magid mishnah is ebel lashon harambam sham hayev shisham halacha yudala shekatav chacham chashuv letaken maasei hamudina ulatzliach darkei yoshveha inshem. V'chein yesh tefareish gam b'lashon hatur shekatav letaken inyanam v'lachein af shulchan aruch nakat stam adam chashuv muna haratzibur nami tzarich lefareish humumuna la'ayen v'tzorchei ha'ir lo ak lahorot v'lidrosh. Not the fact that he's a rav or gives a drosha every Shabbos doesn't mean that the unions have to come to him before they can take any decisions. V'chein mashmei amagid mishmer v'lashon rimigasha evi ikarak lashon shulchan aruch mafresh zeh b'dat haRambam alma d'zeh mashmei lo mishnei alashonot shakavanatam davar echad d'boi shiyei mumuneh al hatzibur letaken inyaneihem l'tovatam. The person actually has to be a municipal employee placed in charge with the authority to supervise these legislation. Masik de below mumuneh. But if this person does not, if there is no person who has this official status, then their agreement is binding even without his approval. In New York City, no rabbi has been appointed to supervise the union's decisions. And therefore, it's as if you're dealing in the absence of an Adam Chashur, Shetnahehem v'takenotehem kayamim. The legislation is binding. V'kol shekein b'mdinatenu, certainly here in New York, sheyesh lem rushut me'emem shalal. Since organized union activity is legal, certainly there's no requirement for supervision. Okay? V'lachein, he says, if they decide not to work until they get a raise, this majority decision to go out on strike can be binding on the minority. What about non-union members? Can they keep non-union members out, closed shop? Yesh la'ayin. We have to look into this a little bit more deeply. The Afshe Kevan Sha'arov Hu Baha Union, even though most of the workers belong to the union, Hayasha Yashi Itaknu Gam Al Kol HaPoalim Shelo Yavdu B'Yom HaDechavrei V'Kol Shekein B'Makom DeChavrei. They certainly have a right to decide that one person should not work on this day or the other. That was mentioned in the Gemara. So certainly they have a right to decide that a person shouldn't take somebody else's job. Since the union members are separated from the other workers, they don't really look out for the interests of the non-union workers. It's not reasonable to say that the union should make rule legislation binding on the non-union workers for the benefit of the union members, since by joining the union they've separated themselves out from the other workers. So that's one possible position. The fact that the union workers don't look out for the benefits of the non-union workers, that's a, sort of a punishment to the non-union workers who should have joined the union. Just as we saw in the Gemara and Bawasa and Tosefta, that the municipality has the right to impose fines, the union members who constitute a majority of the workers in this field can decide to impose a fine, so to speak, on the non-union members to say that they're not going to look out for their benefits. The im kein, masha tiknu shelo yavod etzel ploni ad sheyosif yecholim lachof gam et acherim sheheim hamiyut. So if you adopt this theory, then the union workers have a right to enforce their strike even on workers who are not members of the union.
What they do today is in a positive way. They say they are an agency. They take that word as
yeah, well, that's what he said.
No, they don't want to join the union.
They're looking after their benefit.
Acting on their behalf.
That's
benefit.
What he said.
They get it automatically.
That's what he said.
That's
what he said. Mimikol makom kevan sheyesh lomar shu kmo beheskei ma'union she'elu she'en rotzim lo yum union ve'lo she'yesheichim lachem ve'em mistaber yoter lo yarialam lekofam mitzayim mitzad kiyum takanacham. Ahu mikol makom, he says, mistaber she'yicholim lachofim midin kapasket lechiyute. They can prevent them from working because the non-union members are interfering with their livelihoods by being strike breakers. Umidin ma'arufia shebaramach hoshunish betzimin kufnin vav sivav ubahavei dvarim gam yesh inyana chasakot shenoagin b'Yisrael. V'gam, he says, mitzad sheskimu kvar kol b'nei hamdina shuhu avla gedola l'mish niskar la'avod b'mkomom. Being a scab is a disgraceful thing. It's a big shanda to be a scab. Yesh lehem rushut gam ken lekofam ukemoshu masim b'chol yom b'mdina hazot. Therefore, he says that the unions have the right to a closed shop and to prevent non-union workers from coming in to act as scabs. Okay?
That might include violence. You know?
He doesn't go that far, but he's in favor of the closed shop. Right.
Kofin
means force, prevent.
Coerce.
A little strong.
Right. Now it comes to a slightly more delicate problem. What about the teachers' union? This is his general philosophy on unions. So he says that the idea of a union has a basis in the Gemara, in the Tosefta, in the Halacha. And secondly, he's in favor of closed shops for a number of reasons. Now what about teachers? Can they go on strike and prevent other people from coming in when they're not paid on time, or they're getting a very low pay, or rotzim sheyosif lehem kafi atzarich lehem? Hinei kvar amarti, dekevan shehatashlumim shehem lehem hu rak dmei batala perushu shemashalmim lehem kidei sheyishvu batel memelacha, ukevan shehem betelim mechuyavim memela lelamed midin Torah b'chinam, v'imkein ein shayach shelo yilamdu heim al kol panim ata heim b'teilim ha'melacha mukhayvim lamed et ha'tamidim v'rak shekevin shemima shereshalmim lahem ein lahem kidei tzarcha m'shem olech levakesh ma la'aviyach v'meil yipatlu aval imkein ein yicholim lemnoa l'achirim rotzim lo lamed etam. In principle, you might believe that he says that teachers form a separate category because there's an obligation to teach even without pay, and their pay is only in lieu of other income. The elu, but what about elementary teachers who don't fall into that category? The elu shalomdim mikra imaktanim. שרשאים לקח שכר, נע מכיוון שיש על קלפנים מעלה שלא לקח שכר, ולכן היו מקומות שלא נתנו שכר גם על המקרא, אין בנדרים דרך למזיין ברם, וכן ברמב"ם פרק א' מתלמדתו הלך הזין ולשולחנו הרחסים etc. היה מנהג בעיר שלוקח שכר, אין שם ולא מסתבר שיוכלו למנוע לאחרים ולעשות מצווה. דהו כשימצאו מי שילמד בחינם, רק ישלמו באופן שכר בטלה, וגם מסתבר כיוון שביטול תינוקות של בית רבם הוא חטא גדול, שאין העולם מתקיים אלא בהבל פיהם של תינוקות של בית רבם, אף שרשאוי לתות שכר ולא לקבל עליו למדון בחינם, אף אם אין אחר שם ללמד אותם, הוא רק משם שלו, רק עליו לבדל מוטל על כל בני העיר. אבל מאחר שכבר קיבל עליו, שאתה מוטל רק עליו, כשיבטל אותה נמצא שהוא המבטל, וחטא אסור לאדם לעשות בשביל הרווחת ממון, ויעשה ממילא גם הוא ללך לבקש אף פרנסה אחרת כדי שיעמדו הדרכה. He says that you can make a case to say that teachers are different, that there's a, and children's need come first, and there's an obligation. And he says, okay, he says, וזהו מדינה. He says, all of that is very nice theoretical, that the children's rights come first. אבל, אם הוא באופן שאין להם כדי צלחן, if these teachers really are getting a miserable wage, שלכן קשה לפניהם ללמוד, ללמד בטוב עם התלמידים, and it's very hard for them to be good teachers in a situation where they're struggling daily to make ends meet, והאום דנה חזקה וברורה, שאם לא ילמדו יום או יומיים יועיל, שהמתעסקים ישלמו בזמן ויוסיף עליהם כדי צורכן. And if the children go without school for a day or two, the pressure will be on and the balabatim will really pay these teachers a decent wage. אז אולי יש מקום להתיר מהר דעת להשם לשאת להשם היפהו תורתך, כדי שזה יועיל שיוכלו ללמד אותם כהוגן. He says, the children in the long run will benefit from this strike. Because if you have satisfied teachers who will teach without feeling bitter about it, if you average over the long school year, the fact that the children were sort of missing a few days' lessons during the strike is balanced out by the fact that you have happy teachers who are getting a decent raise the rest of the year. And furthermore, they won't have to go out in moonlight and be sleepy in the morning when they come in to teach their class. That's right. It's a religious obligation to support the teachers' union. Aval tzarich al ze yishuv dat gadol to assess the situation, whether it requires some serious thinking. Ve'la'amod hadavar heitev b'chal apuatim. Ve'lachein tzarich litrachek mizeh b'chal ha'efshari. One should try to avoid a strike if at all possible. U'mimele lefi masha b'yavti. Ein chiluk b'mlamdim ben yesh lahem chal ze o lo. The question of whether the teachers have a contract or not is irrelevant. Ve'ein chiluk ben hitnu shiyuchlu levatel ha'ed kishelo yishalmu lahem bezman uvein lo hitnu. Whether they could go up, whether there was or was not a contract that they could go, part of the contract that they go on strike if they didn't receive their wages on time. Ve'lo ben levatel gamwi gam shelo lahashim.